interest and your prayer that we might be blessed together tonight. Come to the second half of the second chapter of James, and James is a very practical book, isn't it? The first half we talked, first half of second chapter, we talked about not having the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. And earlier he talked about not to be just a hearer of the word, but a doer. Now, I know nobody here is guilty of not being a doer of the word. But it's good to be reminded, isn't it? It's good for us to be reminded. We might just let it slip sometime. All right, in the second half of this chapter, chapter 2, we'll have another lesson on the need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. In fact, three times we're told faith without works is what?
Dead.
You may have already read this. Faith without works is dead. Okay. So why is faith given? Think about that for a second. Why is faith given? What should we do with it?
Use it.
That's good. Use it. You mean we're supposed to be doing something? All right. Who's benefited? Well, it benefits us, doesn't it? But we also should have an eye toward others so that it can benefit others. Isn't that what Jesus did when he came in his ministry? Aren't you glad he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves? And even when we are doing for others, we receive a blessing, don't we? If you don't believe that, try it. How many times have you tried to comfort somebody else or visit somebody, give them a call, go by the hospital or whatever, hoping that you might find a word that might encourage them, and you went away more encouraged probably than they were? That's not the exception. That's more the rule. Haven't you experienced that? Isn't it a blessing to be able to try to help somebody else and to be able to do something for them? Yes, it is. All right, my last question before we get into the verses, who gets the glory? Why, you're such a good person for thinking about doing that. Let's pat them on the back. That's the wrong way to go about it, isn't it? It's amazing what God will bless when you're not worried about who gets the glory. We need to remember that. I think you know it, just don't forget it. Who gets the glory? All right? As we learn these lessons, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may God help us to learn better how to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now that lesson flows through to this, but it's worded differently. He comes at it from a different aspect, but it's the same lesson. You know, God does a lot of that in his word. He teaches us a lot of things over and over and over. Have you found in the word of God that he ever taught something too many times? No, usually he needed to do it five or six more times what he already has before we get it. But, verse 14, James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14 tonight. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? This sounds a lot like be doers of the word and not hearers only, right? So here he says, what does it profit? So the first part of that verse zeroes in on profit in the sense of benefit. Benefit. What benefit is it? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? All right, let's look at the notes. Evidently, the faith of some was being unprofitable. Remember when we talked about the need for the book of James early in, this is one of the, it's commonly thought that James was the first New Testament book written. The church had grown rapidly. There was a great need for these fundamentals to teach people how they needed to be living if they're going to take the name of Jesus upon them. And so we have the book of James, and it's wonderfully practical. It's been called the New Testament book of Proverbs. It's right there where the rubber meets the road, how we live our lives. All right? So evidently, the faith of some was being unprofitable. As we get into this, I'll just go ahead and throw the question out there. What about us? Has our faith ever been unprofitable? And what I'm thinking about more specifically is unprofitable in the kingdom of God. As we live among others, how profitable, how beneficial, how much help, how much encouragement are we because we are trying to live by faith? Are we being profitable in the kingdom of God? You know, when the Lord gives us faith in the new birth, He expects us to use it. Now, do I have a verse that says exactly that? No, but I've got some teaching. Remember when he gave the parable, the talents? He gave this lesson with the parable, I keep saying that. the talents, he gave 5 talents to one. And he gave 2 talents to another. And he only gave 1 to a third. And when the one who had the 5 used them and earned 5 more, the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the one who had been given 2 talents, he only earned 2 more. But the same blessing was given, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So they took what the Lord gave them and they put it to use. And the Lord blessed. It's the Lord that gives the increase, isn't it? Yeah. And as long as we're careful to give Him the glory and look to Him and serve Him sincerely, it's pleasing unto Him. The man who was only given 1 talent, what did he do with it? Hid it, buried it, depending on which one you're reading. And when the Lord came, He said, He dug it up and said, "Here's your talent. Safe and sound. Hadn't been used a bit." Right? Was the Lord pleased? Now listen, this is what I'm after in this. Was the Lord pleased that that talent had not been used? No. I think we need to remember that tonight. What God gives us, He expects us to use it. For His glory. He gave it to us. He didn't give it to us because we're so good. He gave it to us because He's so good. And when we use it, it's a blessing to others. And that's right. That's right. And when we use it in a way that's pleasing to Him, He's pleased to bless us. Because the man that had the five and earned five more, when he was displeased with the one who had the one who had not used it at all, he took it away from him and gave it to the one who now had 10. Oh, that's so unfair. He's already got 10. It's the Lord's to do with as he will. We just need to be thankful for what he's given us and use it for his glory. So, evidently, there were some people in the early church that weren't using what the Lord had given them. Okay? All right? And they were being unprofitable. Oh, could that happen today? Surely we've learned better than that today. Oh, it can still happen today. As a matter of fact, based on your response, I suspect it's still happening. Can we do better? Should we do better? Will we do better? It keeps dropping. I didn't hear that last one as much.
Me too.
Okay. All right. Now, we understand that without faith, thoughts and deeds cannot please God. If you're not born of the Spirit, if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you don't have the Spirit working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, you're not going to do those things that please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Is that a true statement? All right, you understand that. All right? So, but with it, which is his free gift, right, his sovereign work, with it, we should be pleasing God and not ourselves. Oh, that battle that we have with ourselves. The biggest enemy we have, we carry around with us all the time, don't we? All right. So, the trying of our faith. We're going to reach back now to the earlier part of James and draw some thoughts here. The trying of our faith must have its perfecting work in us so it moves us beyond ourselves, right? And matures us so that we can be more like Jesus. We need to get beyond ourselves and looking at only ourselves and thinking about others. And the more we mature in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the more we'll be thinking about others. Okay? He always went about doing good and sharing God's love with others, right? Oh, if you haven't read the early part of the Gospels lately, read it. Notice the activity of Jesus. Even when they were thronging him, there were ways that people, sometimes they just tried to touch the hem of his garment. But he was doing the will of the Father, going about ministering to others. What a wonderful example for us to remember and to follow. I know we can't do the things he did, but we can do many of the things that he went about doing, okay, as far as ministering what we can to others. All right? So otherwise, if we're not using what he gives us, otherwise, what does it profit? You know, we can keep treasuring up knowledge. We can keep trying to, and it's good. It's a good thing for us to read the scriptures, for learning all that we can and growing in our knowledge. But that knowledge needs to come out in lifestyle and what we're doing as we go about living before God. Remember Sunday we talked about how that the Lord called Abraham and says, walk before me and be thou perfect. If you're going to walk before God, you got to keep him in the forefront of your mind. You got to be looking to him. You got to be mindful of his pleasure and what we're doing, and filtering everything through. Lord, would this please you? What would you have me to do? Walk before him, not try to get ahead of him, not turn your back on him. Walk before him and grow and mature. All right? So, if we're not using faith, though, what does it profit? We're not supposed to be a hermit. We're supposed to be letting our light shine, right? We're supposed to be salt. One of the properties of salt is that it influences things. And we'll get to that a little bit later, hopefully tonight. We should have an influence. You know, in my short lifetime, I've seen a great change in how much godliness influences our culture. You know, when I was growing up, there was things folks didn't do because somebody knew about it. Nah, they don't care. Do it anyway. A lot of change. Not good change. A lot of not good change. Okay? But we are to be living these principles and doing what we can to have an influence. Ourselves, our family, our household, our church, our community, wherever we can, we're living these things before others. So what good is faith which is unexpressed and unshared? Thought about it lately? Sure is quiet tonight. All right. There's no more benefit to that, okay, than there is to love that's never shown. You know, have you ever heard the words, whether it was directed to you or hearing, knowing somebody else, it was directing those words to somebody else. But have you ever heard the words, I love you, the words of love, but you didn't see any actions to back it up? That's kind of hollow, isn't it? Empty. Ineffective. Worthless. Well, faith without works is along those same lines. Okay? All right. Faith should be profitable with a saving and preserving influence as the salt of the earth. I think I've said this here before, but I stumbled across something not long ago in studying, several months ago, but in studying the scriptures, and on my computer, and I did a search. I couldn't remember a chapter and verse, and so I searched on the phrase, good for nothing. Good for nothing. And I found it twice. Now, I was looking for one, and as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, there it is again. Good for nothing. And both times that what it's talking about with being good for nothing is relating to somebody that's rejecting the word of God. That's what results. Now, I gave you a reference here, Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, its ability to influence. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Wow. But to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. If the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing. You've probably heard me do this before, but if you go back and start that passage and use some personal pronouns, You know, it starts out by saying, ye are the salt of the earth. Well, keep the ye in there. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if ye have lost your savor, oh, this is getting personal. Ye are thenceforth good for nothing with respect to the service of God, with respect to having influence, the kind of good influence that we ought to be having as children of God. Faith without works is unprofit. What does it profit? He says, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works. By the way, even in the lesson of letting your light shine, which is just ahead of the salt, you're the light of the world. Okay. No man lighteth a candle and put it under a bushel. Right? Even in the lesson of letting your light shine, Jesus said, don't cover it up. Let it out. Let it be seen. Let it be heard. Have an influence. Not everybody's going to receive it well, will they? I wish they would, don't you? But they won't. But that's not your concern. Your concern should be to honor the Lord. If He's given us understanding, walk according to it. If He's given us blessings to be able to trust Him and to do those things which would please Him, let's do it. Now, our culture is making it increasingly more difficult, but we need to be concerned about pleasing God. All right? So, Lord said, with the respect to you're the light, He says, don't cover it up. Don't cover up the light. Let it shine forth. Okay? What happens when you let your light so shine before men? Others see it. That's the purpose of it, isn't it? Not to be kept under a bushel. Let it shine. That others may see your good works. We do believe in good works, don't we? Sure, not in order to go to heaven, but because the Lord has blessed us to manifest the fact that we are His child. Okay? All right, so if you cover it up, it can't be seen. It's not profitable. Just like faith without works, just like salt has lost its savor, just like being a hearer only and not a doer of the work. All these principles are different ways of saying the same thing. God is not pleased if we're unprofitable with what He's given us. He doesn't need a thing. But we certainly bring honor and glory to His name when we use what He's given us to His glory. It's just right, isn't it? As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just right that we give praise and honor and glory and show our appreciation for all that He's given unto us. It's not profitable, and it doesn't glorify God for the work. Now, He's the one that gets the glory, right? We established that earlier. Okay, all right. Verse 15. All right, he put forth the idea. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Oh, he's on the same thing, isn't he? He hasn't left that thought in the verse 14, we're still enlarging upon the idea needing to be profitable in the kingdom of God. God's pleased when we are. I know He works in us both to will and do of His good pleasure, but we do that which He leads us to do. We're not robots. We do it out of love, don't we? If there's not any love there, we may not be doing very much. But when we love, we do for folks, don't we? All right. So if someone has a great need, food, clothing, but you say, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, but you don't do anything for them, what doth it profit? God's word is telling us what faith should do in a test. You know, the word tempt and temptation in the scripture is a very general term. Sometimes we're being tempted with the flesh or from the devil, but sometimes it's a testing. Same word. Sometimes it's a test. Oh, I shudder to think how often I've failed the test. But today's another day. I can't go back and change some of the things of the past, most of the things of the past. But we've got today. And we can try to do better tomorrow. Okay? Now, this is a big deal with God. I mean, it's a big subject in His Word. How we respond to His love. How we use our faith. Okay? If we claim to be Christians, then how well do we really represent Christ? If we claim to be a Christian, that means we're taking His name upon us. We do that in baptism, don't we? Okay, we become identified with Him in baptism. Just like He was buried in that liquid grave. He died and He was buried and rose again. Then when we go through the baptismal service, then we've taken His name upon us. We want to honor Him with our life. So in this passage, God's telling us what faith should do. And it's a big deal. If we claim to be Christians, how well do we represent Christ? Think of all He's done for us. Think about it for a second. Boy, He could just... There's so much He's done for us. But I hope in thinking about so much that He's done for us that your mind goes to Calvary, where our Savior was nailed to that cross. Because of our sins, He came into this world to be our sin bearer, taking our sins off of us and putting them on Himself, and going to that cross and dying for our sins. Doing it in such a way that God was pleased with it. That God sent Him to be our substitute. And He faithfully did all that the Father sent Him to do. Think of what He's done for us. And then think, what have you done? What are you doing? What will you do for Him? Think about it. Don't forget it now. That's your homework. All right? Think about what we are doing in response to His mercy, His grace, and His love. It's tremendous what He gives to us each day. And as we've said so many times, if He never gave us another blessing, we've got more than we need to praise Him in all eternity. Because Jesus went to the cross to save us from our sins. Now, remember He said, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what did it profit? John says it a little differently, but it's the same question. John says, First John chapter 3, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, if you see that, how dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, you're not showing the love of God if you shut up your bowels of compassion from somebody like that. Not doing it. My little children, he continues, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, you know, just saying the words but not showing it with actions, but in deed and in truth. Oh, it has to be according to truth, but it needs to come forth. It needs to be manifested. It needs to be shown, right? The light needs to shine forth. The salt needs to have its savor, and it needs to have an influence, a preserving influence, and a seasoning influence, right? Sometimes we think of the seasoning influence of salt, all right? Now, this lesson is taught elsewhere. Are you surprised? All right? Proverbs 3. What is Proverbs 3? Oh, we know Proverbs 3, don't we? Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. We know that part, don't we? But have you kept reading in Proverbs 3? This lesson pops up toward the end of Proverbs 3. All right? It says, beginning in verse 27. Withhold, Proverbs 3 also, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. In other words, you have an opportunity to do something good for somebody, and you have the ability and the resources and the opportunity to do it, what should you do? Oh, I might need this next week. I've got things coming up. I got to hold on to this. No, he says, don't withhold when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Well, wait a minute, preacher. I don't know what I'm going to have next week. God does. God knows. Now, I understand we have to have some discretion here, but still, we need to have a giving attitude, sharing, doing for others. That has to be part of the expression of our faith. Has to be. If it's not, what does that say about our faith? James tells us three times in this passage that we're going to cover tonight. And really, in principle, it's more than that. More times than that. Verse 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give thee, when thou hast it by thee. If there's a need. Now, I know people will take advantage of you. I understand that. And we have to have some discretion here. But we also need to guard against totally not doing anything in faith. We need to be praying for wisdom. You know, I'm sure we've all given to others knowing that it was going to be squandered, or found out later that it was. I've heard about giving to a young family that needed some, and when they got it, they ran off on vacation instead of the needs that they had. It happens. I've been places where somebody would knock on the door and I'd help them out. Next day, there'd be more than one knocking on that door. We have to pray for wisdom and discretion, but don't completely close your heart. It's a challenge today, I know. But there are needs that we can help with. There are ways we can let our light shine. There are ways we can be giving. There are ways to do faithful deeds to glory, to the glory of God. So then also remember that Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Remember that? So, the question is, who might we miss serving? If we had an opportunity to do something like that, and the Lord said, "If you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me," then who might we have missed serving? Could have been a test. I think we're frequently tested. Like I said before, I shudder to think how many times I may have failed the test. I know sometimes I've failed it. Probably other times I didn't realize it. Verse 17. All right, so he gave us this. What did the prophet? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Then he gave us an illustration how that could be handled. If there's a need and you shut up your bowels of compassion against them, and what does it profit? See the same thoughts flowing through. So he says in verse 17, even so faith. Even so. The same way here. Even so faith, if it hath not works. Preacher, you don't have to get on that works all the time, do you? I'd say that's a big portion of where we come short. And I've got to raise both hands on that. This is a rather convicting lesson, isn't it? If we're going to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to follow the example he laid out for us, if we're going to let our light shine, if we're going to have an influence, we have to be doing this. We have to be doing this. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Being alone. You like to be alone? No. As a matter of fact, as far as us men, Bible, first thing the Bible says is not good. It's not good that man should be alone. I've heard it said by many that that's one of the characteristics of being in hell. Going to be forever alone. Well, there'll be a lot of folks there, but you know, Jesus came to save us so that we could have fellowship with him and with his people. But a person that cares nothing for that is selfish. So they're going to be rewarded with that. How would you like to live just by yourself for the eternity? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, that's all it is. If you've held it in there, it's not mixed with doing things that we should be. It's not mixed with the word and showing our faith. It's just there. It's no profit. I'm sorry, it's no more profit. It's of no more profit than the wishes spoken above that brought no relief to the needy. You know, when he gave the example, you see somebody in need, but you say, "Depart, be ye warmed and filled." Just saying the words. What does that profit? So faith without works, same way. No profit. Empty. No profit, no relief to the needy. God intends for us to use what he's given us in a profitable way in his kingdom. Well, I got to pick up the pace here. We're running out of time tonight. So God intends for us to use what he's given us in a profitable way in his kingdom, taking his word, mixing it with faith, working by love. Okay? Think about that. Taking his word, mixing it with faith, working by love. Faith worketh by love, right? Okay? That's what Galatians tells us. Without love working in us to produce enough desire to carry out faith's prompting, there's no evidence of spiritual life. Okay? If you don't see anybody doing the good works, if you don't see anybody doing those things which you know pleases God, you have to wonder, don't you? Now, we're not going to judge their heart. God could give them his spirit later. You know, we talked so many times about John Newton, right? Many folks I'm sure many people were amazed by the life of John Newton, the grace that God gave him later in life. Or Saul of Tarsus. Who would have thought? Think about those Jews in the Sanhedrin Council. Who would have thought that Saul of Tarsus would be the most ardent defender of the Lord Jesus Christ in that day? Grace is amazing, isn't it? It is. So we need to be careful about judging. Now, we judge fruit, don't we? We judge fruit. There's no love when there's no evidence of spiritual life. There's no love, no godly activity, no mercy, no joy being shown to others for their spiritual benefit. Faith without works is dead. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. There are many incorrect notions about true religion today, but when this test is made, it's clear that true faith cannot be seen without works. How do we know somebody, how are we persuaded that somebody has faith? You look for evidence, don't you? Look for evidence. Look for reasons to believe so. Okay? The perfect example we're given and told to follow was actively engaged in helping others and showing God's love to them. That faith was alive, profitable, and glorified God. Think back over your life this week so far. We're at the halfway point, right? How much of your life thus far this week has glorified God? How much have you done that was a blessing to somebody else? Brought glory to God. How much? I hope there was something, right? I hope there was. But you got the second half of the week. It's hump day, right? It's downhill from here. But you still got an opportunity to bring some glory to God by showing God's love, by walking by faith, by choosing something that would please God with your choice. Faith without works is dead. May that not be said of us. Okay. So God-given faith is shown by godly works and walk. Verse 19. Thou believest that there's one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Do the devils really believe? Really? Well, I gave you a scripture because some folks might not think so. But are devils doing God's will? Are they bringing glory to his name? No. But they believe. They believe he exists. They know who he is. Mark 5, verse 7. When the man possessed of a legion of demons was met, when he met Jesus, legion cried out, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, command thee by God, that thou torment me not." Now listen, there was a lot of people that didn't know who Jesus was. But these demons did. They did. He clearly knew who Jesus was. But by his works, we clearly do not see loving faith to God and love to others. To my legion. We didn't see any of that. Even though he knew who God was. Even though he knew he was the Son of the Most High God. He had no love for him. But he knew who he was. God's people need to show their faith in love. In love. Best way to do that, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Can we do that? Should we do that? Will we do that? I think I like that answer. We better. If we want his presence in our life, if we want to feel fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, we better. Verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" He's repeated himself already, hasn't he? Vain, O vain man. What does vain mean? Vain because his witness is empty and no profit. We're back to that beginning thought, is it? What profit is there? Vain, vanity, is empty and no profit, no value, no benefit. So are they who show no evidence of spiritual life. Okay? Verse 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Now, would Abraham really have done that? Oh, yeah. We have every indication from Scripture that Abraham was going to do what God told him to do. And God even said, "Now I know." Now, God already knew, didn't he? But many times God says things like that to let us know. All right. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Genesis 22 describes this tremendous test of Abraham's faith. Wasn't that a tremendous test? I've thought about that a lot. Thought about it a lot before I had children. Thought about it a lot more since I've had children. That was a tremendous, tremendous test. And Abraham was faithful. Every indication in Genesis 22 shows us Abraham fully intended to do what God told him to do. Right? But Hebrews gives us a little bit more information about how Abraham was able and willing to do that. And once you read it, then you understand, oh, okay. See, God had already made some promises to Abraham. And Abraham trusted that God was going to be good on his word. And if God had already promised that he was going to raise up a great nation unto Abraham through this promised child, then if Abraham took his life, God was going to have to raise him up again, because the promise was through this child. It wasn't through Ishmael. He told him, Ishmael's not the promised child. Now, if you had promises like that, and you really believe that God was going to keep his word, it would help, wouldn't it? Abraham believed God. He didn't just believe that there is a God. But God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham believed. That was accounted to him for righteousness. It didn't make him righteous, did it? But it showed that he was. It showed that he had the Spirit. It showed that he had faith. Faith is God-given. It showed that Abraham was a child of God. But it also showed that he had a mature faith. How many times, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. If we're honest, that happens. That doesn't mean we're not believing. That doesn't mean we're not trusting. We just know that we're so susceptible to come short. Help thou mine. Lord, I believe you're able. I know you'll do. Help thou mine unbelief. All right. So, Genesis 22 describes this tremendous test of Abraham's faith. Are we persuaded that Abraham feared and loved God? Why? Because of what he did. His works. The record we have of what he did. That's right. That faith was not dead. It was alive. It was trusting. It was believing. It was holding on to the promises of God. And it was glorious. We're still talking about it tonight. Right? What have you done this week? Somebody's going to be talking about 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 years later. Better get busy. But we're talking about it for the glory of God, not for the glory of Abraham, right? Okay. All right. Verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by his works was faith made perfect, mature, complete, well-rounded. Even if he sacrificed Isaac, he believed that God was able to and that he would raise him up again in order for God to remain faithful to what he had already promised. We could spend a lot of time on this, but time's gotten away from us. All right, but read about it in Hebrews 11, okay, verse 19 particularly. Here, faith believed and trusted and obeyed God first. Right? You go back and examine Genesis 22, and it would be interesting to come up with a list of things that Abraham was not told that unfolded. And yet, Abraham believed God, and he proceeded to do what God said. He didn't know there was going to be a ram caught in a thicket. But he did know, he did say to the men that was with him, tarry ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and return. There was a lot of things that, and I don't know. I'm speculating here. We don't know how much God revealed to Abraham when he told him what to do. But from what the record we have, he wasn't told anything about a ram in a thicket. Yet Abraham was trusting God and went to do what God told him to do. There's lots of things we've been told to do in the scriptures. We need to get busy doing it. So, he trusted, he believed, he trusted, he obeyed God first, and then he was blessed. And what a blessing that must have been. Can you just imagine the conversation of coming down that mountain? Do you think Isaac ever told his children and grandchildren about the time Daddy tied me up and laid me on that pile and drew the knife? But then God provided a substitute. Let's not leave that out. God has provided a substitute for us in his son. And it was for Isaac, not for Ishmael. For Isaac. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Could somebody put that on your headstone when you pass away? There lies someone who was the friend of God. James is going to later talk about friendship of the world. Those that are friends with the world are the enemies of God. Can't be both. Scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God. It was imputed in him to righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. His works showed that faith was in him, enabling him to work righteousness. Thus it was credited to him or imputed, placed on his account. The works didn't make him righteous, but proved he was righteous. One of God's children had faith within him, enabling him to believe. Verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. By works he was justified before men. This does not contradict justification by faith, as Paul taught in Romans 3 and Galatians 3, because faith is the root and good works are the fruit. And that's a good way to remember it. Faith is the root. You got to have the root if you're going to have the fruit, right? Okay. So, faith is the root. Good works are the fruit of faith that is perfected. It's mature and it's bringing forth fruit because of what God planted in them in the new birth. This is what pleases God. There's been some shoulds. There's been some thoughts that we've put forth just because we have it doesn't mean that we use it like we should. The Lord's left it that way, I'm persuaded, to give us an opportunity to show our love to him in return. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. If you don't want to keep the commandments, must not be any love. That gets kind of tough, doesn't it? We need to show the world that we love and trust God by what we choose to do with the faith we've been given. Okay? Verse 25. Sorry, it's taken so long tonight, but verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? You remember that story, don't you? What a wonderful story. What a wonderful story of God taking someone. The indication is their life maybe hadn't been all that great. But God allowed them to come to Him and follow Him and have a better life after that. Wow. Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? You know, that placed her in jeopardy for the benefit of God's people. See the choice? What moved her to do that? She didn't know them. Part of it may have been fear. You know, she said, "We've heard. We heard, and our hearts did melt." All right? She heard the report, and faith endeared her to them and moved her to provide the kind of help that pleased God. She sent those out the other way so that the spies, God's people, could leave in safety. Now, you can get all tripped up in that and say, "Well, she lied." She did what she could to allow those spies of the Israelites to leave in safety. There was a higher purpose in what she was doing. So don't get tripped up in that. Look at the big picture here. And the scripture says she did it by faith. Further, and I'm moving ahead in the lesson, further, she desired to leave what she had known to join God's people. And if you connect Joshua 6:25, Ruth 4:21, and Matthew 1:5, you'll find Rahab in the lineage of Christ. When she left, she and all of her household, because of what she did, they gave her a token, put that scarlet line in the window. And when they, and Joshua told them, when they see that line, you save that household. And they went and lived among Israel. And Rahab was part of the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Faith was working righteously, trusting God, and showing spiritual life. Her faith wasn't dead, was it? No, she did what she could. All right? Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. We understand that, don't we? So faith without works is dead also. How's your faith? How's your track record for this week? How bright and shining has your faith been this week? How many others have seen faithfulness in you, coming out of you this week? Think about it. I realize some of us are limited in getting in and out, going out among people, but if that's the case, then we could pray. We might pick up the phone. There's things we can do, right? We have a very clear lesson here on the importance of growing and maturing in grace so that we can show by our works that we are God's children. Jesus taught this in Matthew 5:45. If you don't remember that passage, he's telling us to pray for our enemies. Preacher, you probably didn't read that right. No, I got it right. Now, I'm not going to pray, and the Lord didn't intend for us to pray that he would bless them to do their evil deeds. Well, we need to be praying that God's will be done, that whatever, if there's something good that we can do, we need to show it to all men, especially the household of faith. All right? But he was teaching that lesson about praying for our enemies. Obeying him doesn't make us his child, but it testifies and justifies to others that we are his child. He says, pray for your enemies. Pray for them that would despitefully use you, that ye may be. He said, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Those works don't make you a child of God, but they show who you are. The Lord said, do that. When we do that, we're doing what he told us to do. We're honoring him. We're pleasing him. All right? May we lay this lesson to heart and begin anew to show loving, living faith by our works. I wish I could tell it like it is, but may the Lord bless what we've talked about tonight.